This morning, and I think we're just going to go ahead and start off in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. There was a couple of different messages that God's got kind of on my heart this morning a little bit, and I think we're just going to start off there and see where it goes. I appreciate Miss Maxie's song. It's exciting to think about the day we get to heaven. I want to see Jesus, the one who died for me, and are you going to go there? Are you going to be there? I mean, that's the question, the most important thing. If you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. What the scripture is saying there is, if you believe on him, you put your faith and trust on him, you have everlasting life. If you don't, you're perishing. We're all perishing. And there's a truth that's there, and the importance to understand. This morning's message is going to talk a little bit about the gospel and remembering what Christ did for us. But important, for if you don't know Christ today, that's the most important decision you could ever make, is putting your faith and trust in him. Seeing yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior. And at the end of the message, we're going to have an invitation time and encourage people to come forward, especially if you do not know Christ. I know I'm excited about the day I get to see Jesus, and I like that song because of the fact that heaven's going to be marvelous. There's going to be people there, people you're going to want to talk to, people you're going to want to see, but it's about Jesus, the one who died for me, and we're going to worship him. And we're going to worship him here in this world today if we remember what he did for us. This morning's message is, we forget, but God will never forget us. We forget, but God will never forget us. We're going to look a little bit this morning in we're going to start off in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and read some verses, and our main passage is going to be found back in Psalms 106. And so it's going to be a lot of Bible reading this morning, but we're trying to establish a principle here, and you're going to see something here is that the nation of Israel forgot God. God did so many amazing things that get them out of Egypt. Amazing thing at the Red Sea, amazing things all throughout the wilderness, but you're going to see in Psalms chapter 106, over and over it says, they forgot God, they forgot God, they forgot God. And because of that, they were in a mess. But also you're going to see in Psalms chapter 106 that because of his covenant, God was still willing to be merciful to them. I think the question for me today is, besides the fact, hey, are you going to heaven? Second thing is, can we truly see revival? I know a lot of good-hearted people that think that we're living in the last days, and it is definitely closer than it's ever been, that's for sure. And because of the signs of the times, and I'm working on the message to say, look at these different things that are happening, that you can see that the end is coming and the end is near. But I also know that we serve a merciful God, too. And I believe that God can still do revival if he chooses to. Doesn't look like it's going to happen, but what are we supposed to be working towards? What are we supposed to be praying for? As Christians and believers, do we just mail it in? I don't think so. We continue to pray for God's mercy. Just as Habakkuk said, in wrath, remember mercy. And we're seeking for the mercy of God and praying for our country and standing in the gap and different things like that. We're going to look at that a little bit today. But I think it's important to start off here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, because I know what the thought comes in and says, hey, Pastor, that's about the nation of Israel. What does that have to do with us? Now, America is not Israel, and America never has been, never will be Israel. But at the same time, these things, it says in Romans 15:4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. So we read the things that were written aforetime, things like in the Old Testament, so we can learn about God, and they're written for a purpose. They're written for our learning. It's not just about the New Testament. It's not just about this specific dispensation. It's something that we can learn from the things we saw in the Old Testament. And if we would learn from the nation of Israel, and we would learn, hey, when we forget God, we put ourselves in a mess. And I think as Israel was obviously abundantly blessed, beyond, unlike any other nation that ever was created, America also has been blessed by God. And as America continues to try to forget about God, you know what's going to happen? It's going to get worse and worse. You say, Pastor, can it get worse than it is today? It sure can. Wait till you read the book of Revelation. It's going to get a lot worse. And so what do we learn from this today? And I'm praying that in Psalms chapter 106, we'll see here that the nation of Israel, when they forgot about God, it was a problem. But the amazing God that we serve was merciful to Israel over and over and over. when they would turn back to him, when they would repent. It's sort of like that picture of the prodigal son when he came to himself and he remembered his father that was up in heaven. He went to there and the father ran to him, arms open wide. You know, we need the mercy of God. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life today. I don't know. And if you're not saved, that's the most important thing, is to understand what the Bible says about how you can be a Christian, how you can be on your way to heaven. But if you're not right with the Lord today and you know that you're a Christian on your way to heaven, but you're struggling, God wants you to come back to him. God wants you to draw nigh unto him. God wants you to be and do what's right. Stop forgetting what God has done for you. Stop forgetting about the praises of God. And like Miss Maxie was singing, you know, I want to see Jesus. You know, if we truly are right with him, remember what he's done for us, what he has saved us from, and if we keep that in the forefront of our mind, the author and finisher of our faith, if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, we're going to praise him here today. We're not going to worry about when we get to heaven, just fall on our knees and say, holy, he's holy today. He is someone that needs and deserves our worship. He deserves our lives. Here, let's jump in here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We're going to read through it pretty quickly, but I think that you'll get the passage so you understand as an introduction for Psalms 106. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, moreover, brethren, he's speaking to a group of Christians here, I would not that ye should be ignorant. The ignorant means that they do not have knowledge there. How that all the fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And I love that verse. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. So we see here is giving an example of what we're gonna, the people that's in Psalm chapter 106, and saying that all had the same opportunity, but many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples. To the intent, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So what the scripture is saying here is you should learn from what happened to the nation of Israel. If you would learn not to lust after things like they lusted after, it would save you a lot of problems. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And so we recognize some of the stories. If you remember your Bible stories from your Sunday school classes as children, we remember some of those stories and things that are going on. It says in verse number 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So what the scriptures are saying is you should learn from this example. Don't forget those things that happened, but also don't think too highly of yourself. It says here in verse number 12, let him that think if he standeth, take heed lest he fall. He's saying, if you think that this would never ever happen to you, you need to take heed. Be careful. These things can happen to you if you forget the things that you've been taught, the examples and the ensamples that God has given us to show us, hey, don't fall. Look what it says in verse 13. Therefore, there have no temptation taken you but that which such is common to man. But God is faithful. Isn't that wonderful? We could preach about that. God is faithful. As I mentioned, you're going to look in Psalms 106. It's going to talk about how Israel forgot, but God never forgot them. Israel failed and Israel forgot God, but God never forgot them. I don't know about you, but God is faithful. He'll never forget us. I'm thankful for that. Even when I falter, even when I fail, even when I flounder, God does not forget me. It's something we can rejoice in and praise the Lord about. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So what the scripture is saying there, he says, look, you do not have to sin. It's written to the Christian. God is always offering you a way of escape. You can have victory. I know it seems like we got chains around us and that we're in the bondage, but you know what? Jesus Christ died for us, and Jesus Christ paid that sin penalty. He has given us the opportunity and ability to have victory in our Christian lives. It says, verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee idolatry. So I want to read that first, just to show you an example that God did write this as an example for us. He gave us examples and examples to learn from them. So let's go back to Psalms 106. In Psalms chapter 106, it's a long passage of scripture. We're not going to read it all, but it's talking about the nation of Israel. And with the nation of Israel, how their greatest sin. You say, oh, it's idolatry. No, it's because they forgot about God. They forgot about the things that God had told. And when you forget about God, you know what happens? You don't remember his mighty works. You don't understand what God's trying to do. Psalms chapter 106, it begins with the words, praise ye the Lord. Do you ever sing that song with those kids? Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. And so it begins with a hallelujah. They're saying, hey, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endure forever. Here in Psalms chapter 106, it's a history psalm. It reveals how faithful God was to a people that was not very good to him. Israel, even though he had done so many great and wonderful and mighty things for them, forgot about God. And that's what history does. It reveals unto us how man continues to fall short and fall short and fall short. But you know what? God never falls short. God is faithful. If you go back and you look over your history of your own life, and you think, okay, I remember the day I got saved, and I come up to today, and there have been many a times, maybe in your life, maybe you're perfect, maybe you're not like me, I'm not perfect, and there have been many a times when we've fallen short, or that we've sinned, and we've done things that were wrong, we've forgotten about God, we've forgotten about his mercy and his love and what he did for us, we put ourselves up on a pedestal, we make idols of ourselves, and we do things our own way instead of God's way, we've fallen and we messed up. You know what? God never has. All throughout this time, God remembered us, God knew us, God was there willing to forgive, God was there willing to help us. And I want to encourage you today, don't make the same mistake that Israel makes. Yes, we may forget, but God is faithful and God is willing to help you. Let's keep on going. Verse number 2. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? And in all reality, we all can. And the nation of Israel definitely could. When speaking about those leaving Egypt to the Red Sea, to the miraculous things they saw on Mount Sinai, to how God took care of them, they could utter the praises of the Lord. And if God's done an awesome work in your heart, you can praise him today also. Verse number 3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness all the time, at all times. See, verse number 3, you come to the spot and says, look, the person that's going to be blessed is the person who does right. And Deuteronomy, it's written this way. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you this day. And a curse if you obey not the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which you would have not known. So what the scripture is saying there, it's a simple thing. If you want to be blessed in this world, be blessed by God, it's attached to obedience. If you don't obey, you're not going to be blessed. He even puts it out there very specifically. He said, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. It's there. You have a choice. And what are you going to do in your life? It's there and it's present and it's available. It's a blessing if you obey God and a curse if you do not obey God. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? You mean I'm going to have a curse that's put upon me? You see in Psalms chapter 106, the different things that have happened to Israel when they forgot about God and when they did not obey God. Yes, you're not going to be blessed in your life if you're going to disobey God. And if you're a child of God, he loves you. He's not going to let you continue on in disobedience. The blessing comes when we obey. But when we disobey, we're going to see that there is a punishment for that. Let's keep on going. Verse number 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. And then we see here, we have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. The first point I want you to think about is forgetting is dangerous. Forgetting is dangerous. Verse number 7 is very interesting when it says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. Now, what does that mean? You know, how can they not understand what God was doing? I mean, the wonders that were in Egypt were speaking about the plagues that happened, the darkness. God was setting them free from the locusts, all those different things, from the cow disease to the killing of the firstborn to the frogs to the turning. You know, what does it mean? Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. And then it continues on. It helps us. They remember not the multitude of thy mercies. So what the scriptures are saying is when we forget what God is trying to do, we will not understand how God is trying to work in our lives. When you forget about how wonderful God is, it's going to lead us to other sins. When we forget that God's been good to us, when we forget that God has saved us from darkness and God has saved us from that horrible life, you know what happens? We then are going to lead us to many other sins. Our perspective becomes skewed. We start looking at things the wrong way. And that's what the scripture is saying here. He says, look, they did not understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. And what the story is saying that, hey, God had just done the miraculous thing. These 10 plagues brought them to the Red Sea, and they become murmurers. They become upset. They begin sinning because they're worried because the Egyptians are coming. Instead of turning to God, and instead of saying, hey, God, you brought us this far. We trust you to get us through this Red Sea. And said, no. They forgot. They didn't understand what God was trying to do. God wasn't going to save them out of Egypt, so I guess have the Egyptians come out there and murder them. They forgot what God was trying to do. And God didn't just save you from your sinful ways so you can continue to go back to doing the same sinful things. God was trying to do something with the Israelites. God was taking them to a promised land. God was taking them to a victorious Christian life. And God had brought them out of Egypt in a powerful way to give himself a name, to give himself a testimony that was going to be known throughout all the world. Remember when they got to Jericho, they said, hey, we heard about you. And they even talk about later on in the Old Testament, they would refer back. They remember what happened in Egypt. They remember about the Red Sea. But they forgot. Because they forgot what God was doing, they didn't understand it. They did not remember the multitude of his mercies. Let's keep on going. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. So as we're going through this, there's a couple things I want you to remember. First thing is, forgetting is dangerous. Second thing is, God will remember you. Even when we forget, God still remembers us. Look, he says, nevertheless, even though they forgot, even though they provoked him, nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. And remember what happened with the Red Sea. It was parted and they walked across the dry ground. And the Egyptian army went into the Red Sea and then they were all destroyed by the waters. Then believed they the words. They sang his praises. Now, when they see it happen, guess what? They're good. Look what God just did, and they praise the Lord because of what God just did. Now, does it lose any of its effectiveness? Does it lose any of its power the next day? It doesn't. The next week? The next year? I mean, we're still reading it today, and we are still amazed by what God did at the Red Sea. But here's what happens. The Israelites forget. They lose the amazement of it. Is it still amazing? Of course it is. It's because they don't consider it. They don't remember it. And because when they're remembering it, what are they doing? They sing praises. In verse number 13, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsels. In verse number 7, you have the wrong perspective because of the fact when you don't understand what God's doing, you don't see God working, and you forget what God's trying to do, you're going to have the wrong perspective. But here you see they forgot his works. They didn't remember what he had just done. And what happens? They're not willing to wait on God. They, instead of waiting on the Lord, they get in a hurry. They didn't wait on the Lord. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, they not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What the scripture is saying here, hey, when you forget about God and forget about what God's done and what God is able to do, you'll get ahead of God many times and you'll do things according to your own path and according to your own way. You're not going to wait on the counsel of the Lord. How many of us know and understand that God's counsel is better than our counsel? God is able to teach us and tell us so much more than we ourselves can learn from us. Verse number 14, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. He was willing to give them what they desired so much, but it cost them such a great amount. They envied Moses. And see how the sins continue to progress. They envied Moses as in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company, the flame burning up the wicked. And we see example after example how when they forgot God, they forgot his mercies. They didn't listen to counsel of the Lord. They instead do what's right in their own eyes. We see what continues to happen. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. And they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. And once again, there you go. They forgot God. Wondrous works in the land of Ham and the terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should be destroy him. Now you think about what the scriptures are saying there is, hey, that all these bad things have happened, God's ready to destroy his people, but Moses stands in the gap. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up the hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas. Once again, you have another person standing up to action. Stood up Phinehas and executed judgment. And so the plague was stayed, and that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the water of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that they spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom. And you have a history of what's going on with Israel, and how Israel continued to defile themselves and continue to do wicked things. Let's skip down to verse number 38. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their own sons and their own daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of God kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times, look what it says in verse 43. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph to thy praise. And then it concludes with another worship. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. Lord, I pray that we will learn from the mistakes of Israel, but also learn that how amazing God that you are. Lord, you heard their cry. They didn't deserve any type of mercy, but you offered it to them. Lord, in the day and time that we live in, we truly don't deserve your mercy as a country. But Lord, help us, like Moses, stand in the gap. Help us, like Phinehas, to be actively pursuing things that are pleasing you. God, speak to our hearts today. Lord, as we consider how they forgot you, help us to remember how great of God you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I know what some of you are thinking. He just prayed now, and he's already been talking this long. Don't worry, the message is shorter than the introduction there. I just wanted to read the scriptures, and I know many of you are familiar with the stories already. They kind of give you a cap of exactly what Israel went through. And what Israel did, they did to themselves. You think about it. Look at what Israel did over and over. It says, they forgot God. They forgot God. They forgot God. Verse 21, how do you forget what God did in Egypt? They did. How do you forget something? How do you forget the 10 plagues? I don't know about you, but if I was one of those Israelites, I would like to think, hey, I would never forget what God did. It went pitch black. Remember the frogs, and you remember the water turning to blood, but they forgot. And I don't know about you, but in our Christian lives, God does things, and God works in our hearts and works in our lives, and he does, as we allow him to, he does supernatural things for us. Now, I'm not preaching a wealth and prosperity gospel, but what I'm saying is if you allow God, God will work in your heart, God can work in your life in a way that you could never even imagine or that you would never, ever think about. And I want you to understand, what was Israel's big sin here? What was the key factor here? What was the thing that happened here? We saw the idolatry. We saw the murmuring. We saw all these other sins that seemed like they grew. They began to complain about Moses. They began to do this, and they began to ask for things that God wasn't giving. What came with all that covetousness? Where did all that come from? I'm here to tell you, I believe it came from all the way back here was they forgot about God. And as they forgot about God and the things that God had done, they became prideful. And as they became prideful, they were not willing to wait for his counsel anymore. They began to do things the way that they wanted to do. And in the end, it was a mess. So the first thing I want you to think about is forgetting God is dangerous. Forgetting God is dangerous. The second thing I want you to remember, but God will always remember us. As I mentioned earlier, I've often forgotten the Lord. When making a decision, when I wanted something my own way, oh, I can handle this, I've forgotten him. But he's never forgotten me. All the many times I failed and forgotten the Lord, God has never failed me or forgotten me once. This has been a psalm that helped a lot of people over the years. If you look in verse number 43, he says, many times they delivered them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that God was willing to be forgiving and merciful to a nation that did not deserve it. And don't get me wrong. Do I think the end times are coming? I do. Do I think that we're living in the last days? I do. Do I think God could be merciful and wait? I do. God, obviously, he knows it all. He knows exactly what's going to happen. But I see the mercies of God with the nation of Israel, and I wonder, do not many of us need to make sure our hearts are right? I mean, okay, it's the last days. It's the last times. I hear Christians saying that so much, but has it changed our lives at all? Have we really told more people now than we've ever told before because we see, the cashless society, because we see a one world government coming on the scene, because we see how all the steps are. Does it really move us and motivate us to do anything? It's because we're forgetting God. We remember some of the promises, but we remember. So that's what I want to encourage you today. When it says here, the many times he delivered them, I want to encourage you to make sure your heart's right today. Forget about the pride that's in your life. Get rid of the sin that's in your heart. And say, you know what, Lord? I want to be like that prodigal son. I want to consider the mess that I'm in, the mess that our country's in. And I want to see what I can do is right. And I want to say, okay, I'm leaving all that other stuff behind. And I'm going to go and make sure, you know what? God's merciful. Like David, it was according to God's loving kindness in Psalm 51. It's not because of something I've done, not because of something I've earned, not because of something that I deserve. No, it's because he's merciful. And I know that you may be away from him this morning. I know that there might be sin in your heart. It might be sin in your life. And I want to encourage you today, just like he did for the nation of Israel, he's willing to do for you today. Make sure your heart's right. Because our world needs people who are not forgetting God. Our country needs people that are not forgetting God. And that's the third point, is examples of some guys who did not forget God. Examples of some guys that did not forget God. And I think about what it says in verse 23. Most of us would remember the story, how Moses, God was talking about destroying the nation of Israel because of what happened with the golden calf. Moses goes back up on the mountain. Moses acts as an intercessor for his people. Look what it says in verse 23. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. What the scriptures is saying is that God was there and he was ready because of the sin to take out the whole nation and restart it again with Moses. Moses said, no. Moses interceded on behalf of his nation. I don't know about you, but what our world needs today is some people who are interceding on the behalf of their nation. They need some people who are going to pray. If you pray and you're not seeking the mercy of God, if you pray and you're not seeking God to work and move and that God get glory, then that's what Moses was saying. Hey, Lord, be merciful to him. Hey, Lord, hey, don't do this. Lord, you know, take me too if it's going to happen. And what we need is some people who are not going to forget God. We need some people who are going to say, you know what? I'm willing to go before God. I'm willing to go before God on behalf of my nation. And I'm willing to pray and ask God for his help and for him to show mercy to our nation. It says here at the beginning of the chapter, it begins, verse number 4, remember me, O Lord, the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Visit me with thy salvation. And he continues on, but then he says about, in verse number 6, we have sinned. He doesn't say I, he says we have sinned with our fathers. We can't be picking on other people's sins until we're willing to admit, hey, we've done wrong. We're not going to be able to be the proper intercessor. We're not going to be able to be the proper person going to God on behalf of our nation, asking God to help save our nation, asking God to help bring revival to our nation, asking God to do a work in our nation until our hearts are right. All our prayers should begin with praise, yes, but they should begin with confession. I've done wrong. God, I want a clear pathway. God, I want you to hear my prayer. And that's what Moses does. He stands in the breach, which means standing in the gap. And there's, you know, God is looking for someone who's going to stand in the gap. He's looking for someone who's willing to say, hey, look, there's a lot of things missing today. There's a lot of bad things going on in America. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of issues. And he's looking for some people to stand in the gap and say, hey, Lord, help our country. Hey, God, bring revival to our country. Hey, God, please, Lord, show mercy to America. Because that's the only hope for America. I know over and over you hear people say America is prime for ruin or prime for revival. Right? It's prime for destruction or it's prime for a divine working of God. And I tell you about, I don't know about you, but I love our country. And Lord, I want the Lord to help see a great, wouldn't you love to see God move in our midst? Wouldn't you like to see God see many people saved, people turn back to God? And you're saying, hey, Pastor, that can't happen. The end times are here. You know, who are we to say that? How are we supposed to be living today? Yes, every day we're supposed to be looking for the fact that Christ could return. We're supposed to be looking for that blessed hope. And I don't want to disturb you from doing that. But guess what God would want you to do? He would want you to seek his face. He would want God, whatever it is that you please, whatever you want to do, Lord. But God, please use me to bring glory to you. Please use me to help this nation. Please use me to help be a person or individual that's going to bring glory to your name and see people saved because the time is so short. Not only do we see Moses standing in the breach or standing in the gap there, look what it says in verses 29 and 30. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions and the plague break upon them. So there's a plague that was happening. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment. And to me, both these guys are characters that didn't forget about God. Surrounded by Moses and surrounded by Phinehas was a bunch of sin, was a bunch of wickedness, to the point that they were going to destroy a nation, and to the point with Phinehas that they were going to bring a plague to the nation. These two didn't forget about God. The one prayed to God. The other one stood up and did something. I don't know about you, but that speaks to my heart, and that reminds me, what am I supposed to do in today? What am I supposed to do in this world? Am I supposed to just sit and be passive? Am I supposed to sit and not do anything? Am I supposed to sit and just, hey, live and just wait for that final shout? I don't think so. I think in the day and time that we live in, if the end is nearer, which it is nearer than it's ever been before, should be a day that we get out and we do something for him. We reach out. We live for him. We stand as an intercessor. We stand. Prayer makes such a difference. Are you a praying people? What are you praying for? And then we see Phinehas, not only is it Moses was one that was praying, but Phinehas was the one that got up and he did something. We need some people who are going to be intercessors. We need some people who are going to be the go-betweens. Yes, I know we're not Israel, but we had the same problem that Israel had. They forgot God. We had the same problem that Israel had. We forgot God, and we had the same need that Israel has. Revival. We need a mighty moving back to God. You know where it's going to happen at? It's going to happen in our churches. Those people that are part of ungodly movements, it's not going to happen by them until someone shows them and tells them. If we're going to truly see revival, truly see a work happen, you know what's going to happen? It's going to happen here. It's going to happen in our homes. It's going to happen in our prayer closets. When we see revival, then those around us will see revival. Then our church will see revival. And the result of it, people will be saved. But true revival is a reviving of our passion and our love for God. So, Pastor, what's the point of the message? Here's a couple things I want you to take with you. Israel, we can learn from their example. They forgot, they forgot, they forgot. But when they cried out to God, God was merciful and God helped them. I don't know about you today, but have you been forgetting God in your life? Has there been things in your life and sins in your life and problems in your life and you're not as close to God as you should be? God is there and he is listening for your cry. Cry out to him today. He knows about your sin already. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what's between you and him today. Next, if you're right with him, are you willing to be one of those that stand in the breaches? Are you willing to be one of those that stand in the gap? I know pretty much everybody has an opinion today about America. Everybody has an opinion of what's going to happen, what's going on with the virus, what's going on this, what's going on with that. But how many intercessors do we have? How many people do we have praying and weeping and seeking God on behalf of their nation? How many do we have like the Phinehases that are rising up to do what they can against the wickedness that's around them? I want to encourage you today. Stand in the gap. We don't know how much longer the gap's going to be here. But nowhere in the scriptures does this tell me to stop trying to be a witness. And in all reality, it tells us how much more we should be doing as days go darker and darker and darker. Our light will shine brighter and brighter. But that great sin was, hey, I forgot God. Say, Pastor, I'm not forgetting God. Of course I know God's there. Well, do you forget God when it's time to make a decision? Do you forget God in the morning when it's time to read your Bible and pray? Do you forget God when it's time to make a financial decision or a decision about your job or a decision? Because it's when we begin to forget on little things, on how to forgive somebody. We forget his word. We forget what he's taught us. We forget that he's supposed to be our all in all. He's supposed to be someone we love with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. And so many of us fail at those things. God is willing to forgive. He heard their cries. Yes, we do forget, but God never forgets us. Yes, we do fail. God was listening for their cries. He responded to their cries. God was so good to Israel. God has been so good to us. Let us not forget him, because when we forget, that's when we lead ourselves to more sin. This morning, if you're here and do not know Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you. You're lost today. The Bible says that you're headed to a horrible place called hell, but there is hope. But that hope is only found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in works. It's not found in any other God. There's only one way to heaven. And when the invitation starts, when the music begins to play here in just a second, come forward. We'd love to have somebody show you in the Bible how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. And the challenge to those that know him today, have you forgotten him lately? Things are busy, things are different, things are crazy. Don't forget God and his multitude of his tender mercies. Don't forget the mighty works he did. Don't forget about the powerful things. And it says that they forgot what he did in Egypt. How could they forget what he did in Egypt? How can we forget what he's done for us? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm asking you to do only what you can do. I can't do it. Lord, we need you today. We need a room full of people that are going to stand in the gap. We need a room full of people that are praying, begging God to show light to the dark, so much darkness that's around us. We need some Phineases as they're led by God to be standing up and doing something for you. Or we need to learn from Israel. They lived their lives like there was no God there, even though God had done so much. And the problem with so many times in our churches today is we live our lives like there is no God there. Yes, we sing the praises. Yes, we come to church. But we forget him day in and day out when it comes to our living our normal lives. Lord, help us to repent of that. Help us to live our life with you at the forefront, our eyes focused on you. Remember the greatness of the things you've done in the past to give us faith to do those things you're calling for us to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. With head bowed and eyes closed, we're going to begin the time of invitation. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, please come forward. Brother Joe will have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're saved today, let God work on your heart about being one of those who will stand in the breaches or stand in the gaps. The altars are open as Brother Jim sings.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now. Reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart.
Amen. We're going to say goodbye to those that are watching via live stream, and then we're going to go over a couple prayer requests. Let me encourage you this morning to make sure that you don't forget God.